Well, we've been talking about the book of Acts, right? Brother Raymond shared with us a meditation about the book of Acts. In this series of sermons, we have seen the testimonies of people who have learned about and believed in Jesus Christ and how that has changed them. It's been a gracious transformation of their life. Who deserves to go to heaven? None of us deserve to go to heaven. It is by the grace of God that we are invited, and a way has been prepared for us to go to heaven through Jesus Christ. And so as people learned about Jesus, they changed their way of living and accepted that new life that has been offered to them. They discovered the new hope and the new purpose for them through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, with the Holy Spirit filling them, they were transformed into powerful witnesses, into a changed person. God uplifts us out of the depths of corruption, of evil, of bad stuff, and lets us, trains us, encourages us to do what is good, helpful, helping the people around us. That transformation was effective. As the people went out into the various communities, they were sharing the hope of life everlasting with people that they came in contact with. And as a result, thousands of other people around Jerusalem were hearing the message. It didn't just stay there in Jerusalem, didn't stay in the region of Judea. It began moving out into other districts. We learned last week that it was moving into Samaria. The message of salvation, this barrier that had been between the Jews and the Samaritans was being broken down by the love of Jesus Christ, the hope of Jesus Christ. And as a result, more and more people were coming to this transformation that only God can do through belief in Jesus. And today, people are still being changed. Isn't it exciting? How many of you have been changed? Hopefully hands go up. God is constantly helping us. God will help all of us if we will put our trust in Him. People are still being changed by the invitation of Jesus to come to Him, all who are weary and heavy laden. He will give us rest. He gives us new purpose, new goals to reach for as we follow Him. Many of you have stories of how the faith in Christ has changed you. And hopefully they are all good. Some of them may have been kind of trying at times, been frustrating, but in the end, God has been faithful and true to you. And there's one particular story of a woman that was changed. She said, I'm so glad that I got religion. I have an uncle I used to hate so much I vowed I'd never go to his funeral. But now I'd be happy to go to his funeral. Well, that didn't quite come out right, did it? Hopefully she was starting to build a relationship with her uncle before he got to that time in his life. That was a peculiar response. But hopefully in each one of us, the change is a positive one where we reach out and love the people around us, learn to get past those obstacles, to share the hope of life in Jesus Christ. True believers of Christ submit to the Holy Spirit working in our hearts every day, and that has a positive influence on our actions, on our thoughts, on our attitudes. But Jesus warned us that not everyone who says to Him, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of His Father, do the will of God. We just reviewed last week where Simon the sorcerer failed to fully apply that principle of full repentance, submitting himself fully to God. He tried to buy the Holy Spirit. You can't do that, right? It just doesn't work. You have to be fully submitted to God and let God work through you. Billy Sunday gave us a warning. Billy Sunday was a preacher many years ago, a down-to-earth preacher. He said, going to church doesn't make any anybody a Christian any more than making a wheelbarrow into taking a wheelbarrow into a garage makes it an automobile. You know, a lot of people come in through the doors. Just because we go through the doors of a building called a church does not automatically make us a Christian. We need to have that heart change from the inside, allowing God to make us into the people that we should be through Jesus Christ. Would you have a word of prayer with me as we prepare to read our text and consider this passage? Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the sunshine and the warmth that it provides as the season of fall progresses, as we near the winter season. Father, I thank you for each one who has come. We thank you for the warm blessings that come by knowing Jesus Christ. We thank you for the special relationship we have with each other through Jesus Christ, that we can be a family of believers if we all learn to work together and walk together in the love of Jesus. You are gracious toward us, and Father, help us to learn to be gracious to those around us as you would want us to be. That we all help each other, that we do unto others as you would want us to do, others to do for us. Father, as we review this passage of Scripture, we will see a man who was on the far side away from you, and yet you brought him into your transformation through your grace, through your mercies, through the power of the blood of Christ. Father, we have sung some songs about this transformation. We have sung songs about seeing your glory and being changed into a holy people. I pray that we are honest and sincere about that, and that we are honest and sincere in sharing the message of hope and transformation with those around us. Guide us in these coming moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage that we'll be looking at today comes from Acts chapter 9, the first 22 verses of that chapter. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 22. And it reads as this: Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. The man who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. He was there 3 days, without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man named from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, He is the Son of God. All of those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Gracious transformation. We just sang the last song about seeing the light of heaven. Come down on us, Lord, that we would be a holy people. Well, Saul was trying to be a holy man. Unfortunately, he was on the wrong track, wasn't he? Let's get into this and look at three major points. The first one is that gracious transformation takes time. Gracious transformation takes time. God did not strike down Saul of Tarsus when he began persecuting the church at the very beginning because he knew what the man could become with the right choices. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us, The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God's desire is that every person in this world would change their ways to his ways. And God waits and waits. How long has he waited for you? How many times have you disobeyed God? Did God immediately strike you for the sins that you knew you were doing? Aren't you glad God is patient? God is just, and he's told us there's a day of judgment coming. The books will be opened. Your life will be read. And if you're not with Jesus, it will not be a pretty picture. As Brother Raymond has shared with us, we are told in Scripture there is a day of an accounting, but thank God he is patient, waiting for us to repent, to turn to him and follow his ways. Saul was one of those that God was waiting for. God, who knows all things, saw down the road that this persecutor of the church, oh, here comes a gem. Here comes a good thing. Saul was in Jerusalem as a student of Gamaliel, who was one of the leading Pharisees, one of the leading teachers of the law during that period. Paul was being educated as an excellent professor, if you want to use that term. He was a scholar of the Scriptures. He understood the Scriptures frontwards, backwards, upside down. He could quote it to you while he was asleep. Well, maybe not that. But anyway, he knew the Word of God. He knew the applications of the Scriptures based upon traditions. Based upon men's traditions. Unfortunately, man had twisted the Word of God, and Paul needed somebody to awaken him, to enlighten him. Who better to do that than God himself, which Jesus did. Saul was zealous for maintaining purity unto God. That was one of the characteristics of the Pharisees, of believing what the Scripture said. The first thought that came to him was he needed to persecute these Christians. They were twisting God's word in his opinion, in the opinion of all of his buddies, his cohorts, his teachers. And so he first thought that I need to get rid of these Christians. That must be the answer, to keep purity within God's family. And of course, that motivated him to capture Christians, to imprison Christians, to watch them be stoned to death. Stephen, Saul was right there approving all of it, seeking their death. And it didn't stop with Stephen. He started going through all of Jerusalem, leading, helping destroy Christians. Now, our human tendency is anybody who would kill somebody, who would murder somebody, they deserve to be killed themselves, right? Isn't that justice? If you take somebody else's life, don't you deserve to lose your life? Isn't that what the law says? An eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, life for life? And yet God was patient because God knew that Saul would be transformed. Saul had witnessed the reactions of those whom he had jailed, beginning with Stephen, who prayed for his forgiveness, and then on through the countless others who died calling on the name of Jesus, the risen Lord, the righteous suffering left an impact on his mind. Do you see things and just forget about it and never think about it again? Well, there's some things we don't think about for a while, but all of a sudden that memory comes back. Just this morning, I started thinking about all the families I grew up with in my home church. Why did I do that? I don't know. But in the midst of it, I started praying for my old friends that I haven't thought about for years. But then there's bad things too. There's bad memories. We don't like to think about the bad memories, do we? That blinding light from Christ shocked Saul into reevaluating his beliefs and the facts of the Christian claims. And those people that he had watched die at his hands and their reactions. Saul was sincere in his beliefs of trying to get rid of them, but he was sincerely wrong. Sincerity does not save us. Obedience to God through Jesus Christ is what saves us. Our personal beliefs may be very sincere, but if they defy God, they are worthless. And God was waiting for Saul to finally see the light, to understand of the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. Moving to the second point of our sermon, gracious transformation takes repentance. Gracious transformation takes repentance. When we realize we're not doing something God's way, we must do all in our power to get in step with God and His directions. The message of repentance was preached in the Old Testament. It was preached by John the Baptist. It was preached by Jesus. And now it's being preached by the apostles. And now we see that Saul needs to repent. He needs to change direction. It's a military term that literally means about face. But the idea of God is, you're out of step with me. You need to get in step with me, God speaking. It's included by the apostles, the very first sermon, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when the people cried out, what must we do to be saved? When they learned that they'd killed the Messiah, what did Peter say? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is necessary along with baptism, along with your faith, along with your confessing God as your Savior, along with living faithfully. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repentance was necessary to return back to God so that the sins of the people would be wiped away. Several other passages talk about repentance, turning to God instead of the ways that we are set in. Who needs to repent? All people need to repent and return to God because we all have sinned against Him. Isn't that the message of Romans 3:23? Romans discusses the fact that all Jews were sinners, all Gentiles were sinners, but Jesus has made a way. Jesus has made a way for all people to come to Him. The entire world population is sinners. We're all sinners. Doesn't matter what culture, old, young, men, women, boys, girls, all are sinners. And God wants all of us to change our ways to become His people. Now, the word repentance is an active verb and command. Every time we disobey God, we must repent. It's not a one-time event fixes all. Unfortunately, some people think that's what it is. No. As a matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, John warns us that we all have sin. Even as Christians, we still have sin. And what are we supposed to do with sin? Confess it. Get rid of that pattern. That involves repentance, changing our direction, getting back in step with God. We're kind of like Gomer Pyle, fumbling along trying to get in step with God. We're klutzy because we have sin in our lives. And God helps us to get in step, to move the right way. Again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 reminds us of that constant battle with sin that every one of us must face continually, always ready to confess every time we sin, changing our pattern so that we don't do that again. You need to examine yourself. Don't wait for God to blast you with a blinding light. Examine yourself. Are you having trouble with cursing, evil thoughts, lust, pride, arrogance, gossip, laziness, hate, abusing others, selfishness, sexual sins, divisiveness, and the list goes on and on and on? What are you having trouble with? Confess it to God. Turn it over to God and repent. Get away from it. Stay away from those things that lead you into that pattern. It has to be stopped. You must live in God's ways, God's holiness. Saul waited in blindness for 3 days as he examined himself. He fasted, he prayed, he reflected on his own life. He reflected on that blinding light of seeing Jesus, who had been crucified and buried, but what? Raised and was at the right hand of God? Saul saw Jesus after his resurrection, after he had left the earth. Now, what kind of an impression would that leave on a guy who was thinking he was fighting a false teacher, and it turns out that false teacher is not the false teacher. He is the Messiah. He's God. That woke him up. It startled Saul to think he was fighting God when he thought he was working for God. So Saul fasted. He reflected on his meeting, the resurrected Christ. He reflected on and prayed on all of his past, his actions, his responses to those Christians that he had persecuted, Saul had to change his ways. Saul had to change his understanding to believe in Jesus, that Jesus was the Messiah. And so, that meant a major life change for Saul. To change from the being the enemy of Jesus to being his servant. He finally understood who the Messiah was. Though Saul deserved death, God gave him new purpose. God continues to transform the hearts of those who believe in Jesus. Jesus is the only perfect one. He has conquered temptation. He has conquered the power of the grave. And Jesus is the one who gives abundant life. No one else. No one else can do that. And Saul had to come to that final conclusion of who Jesus really was. We come to our third and final point. The gracious transformation takes obedience. It takes obedience. If we walk through all the process of believing in Jesus, then there needs to be some action that follows up. Our turn away from sin must be full and consistent. Not a ping-pong match where we allow circumstances to knock us back and forth. I'm going to serve God today. No, I'm not going to serve Him today. Yes, I think I'll serve Him today. No, I won't. What in the world? Isn't that a little confusing? Is there really transformation or not? Saul's blinding introduction to Jesus, it woke him to reality. This preacher from Galilee did fulfill all the prophecies. And as Saul thought about it more and more and more, he realized Jesus is the Messiah. There's no question about it. It doesn't matter what everybody else was saying. Jesus is, not was, but still is the Messiah. Ananias of Damascus also had to grow in obedience. He had to overcome all that fear of hearing that Saul was in town to carry people like him off to jail and maybe kill him. If God told you to go speak to some person you knew was a murderer, would you be ready to go? Ananias really struggled with that and tried to argue with God, but who won? God. And Ananias grew in faith and obedience, following the directions of Christ. And as a result of his obedience, great things were accomplished because Ananias trusted Jesus. Saul had to be a person who submitted all of his training to Jesus Christ as Lord. All of his education had to be lined up with what was true about Jesus. If he was Messiah, it all had to match. And Saul spent a lot of time evaluating his training. Saul was part of that elite Jewish religious community, the Pharisees, but he was wrong without Jesus in the lead. All of his education needed to be recalibrated to the truths taught by Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, Paul testifies, later known as Paul, testifies that he spent 3 years re-examining everything he had been taught in order to get them lined up with the teachings of Jesus Christ. It was during that period while he was at Damascus. In our text here in Acts, it said he spent many days. How many days is 3 years? Many days Saul spent reevaluating, rethinking through everything he'd been taught and how Jesus had fulfilled all the prophecies of the Old Testament and how his life, death, and resurrection proved that Jesus was and is the Messiah. Saul gladly obeyed the command of Ananias to wash away his sin through baptism into Christ. We learn there in the passage. And as a matter of fact, Saul restates his conversion to Christ two other passages in the Scripture, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26. In Acts 22, verse 16, the words that Paul says Ananias used on him was, "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sin." Well, you know, when Ananias said that and Saul had been thinking about his vision, he was ready to go when? Next week? Next year? No, right then. Right then. And so we see the obedience of Saul to the gospel message in all things, making Jesus Lord and Master, obeying his commands of the transition point in their life, meeting the requirements that Jesus had commanded in the Great Commission. Saul began preaching and writing to others of their need to accept and obey Jesus. He didn't hold it to himself. He spoke the whole message, the gospel message. A lot of people try to tell us that Saul just focused on faith alone. That is not what Saul taught. We see that he included also the importance of water baptism in his statements over and over again. Acts chapter 16, 18, I gave you a whole list there. Romans chapter 6, Galatians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 2. I mean, Saul understood that our coming to God is a package deal. I had these little witness pens made up for you. Saul of Tarsus, later known as Paul the Apostle, teaches us about the importance of belief in Jesus Christ. It doesn't just stop with a vague statement of belief. We have to have a change in our life, our repentance, turning from our ways to God's ways. Next we need to claim Jesus. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before others, I won't confess you before the Father in heaven. Right? We are also told we need to confess our sins one to another. If we have harmed one another, if we have denigrated one another, we need to get that straightened out. And then we are told to be immersed. Paul talks about that, the significance of it, the importance of it. And then finally, be faithful. We can't just give God one day of our life. He wants how much of it? All of it. So we need to involve the full package, the full understanding of living a life of faith in full obedience to God. And Saul of Tarsus went from being a dedicated Pharisee to a full-blown, committed Christian. And it startled the socks off of everybody who knew him before. Who are you? I thought I knew you. Well, that was the old me. This is the new me. I am now a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to serve him till my dying day. And that's exactly what Paul the Apostle, did. Years ago at a Hughes aircraft plant, a sign was hung over the water cooler that said, "Due to the inflation and other rising costs, the water in this cooler is now twice as free as it used to be." Doesn't matter how much sin we have, the price of our sin has been fully paid by Jesus Christ if we will come and drink from his fountain of salvation. We have to do it his way, but it is free to all who will believe in Jesus Christ. Even Saul, who was a murderer, a liar, an enemy of God, when he submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, all of his sin was taken away. It was all washed away by the blood of the Lamb. God's grace is greater than all sin. Jesus paid for how much sin? All sin of every person. Saul accepted God's transformation. So the question is, have you? I trust that most, if not all of you have. If you haven't, what are you waiting for? You can't get into heaven without it. Now is the time of salvation. Don't delay in giving your life to Jesus. And then it doesn't stop there. Living faithfully, are you offering God's gracious transformation to the people around you? Don't dismiss what God can do for others and change their lives. God's given us a commission. It's a good one. And He'll hold us accountable for how we deal with it. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for grace and mercies in Jesus Christ, through Jesus, His blood, His sacrifice, His conquering the grave. Father, we thank You that He's coming again in power and glory and majesty, that eternity is just around the corner. Help us to be ready for it. And Father, help us to be living for You, encouraging others to come and join us in the walk of faith as we submit to Your will. Be with us as we go from here, that we'll be Your people and honor You in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.